Our lesson tonight is out of Romans chapter 8, verses 12 through 17, the believer's equipping to experience exalted spiritual living. Where Romans chapter 8, 1 to 11 provides news of victorious righteous living by God's grace, Romans 8, 12 to 17 teaches the believer's equipping by God to know even exalted spiritual living. So we view the passage, Romans 8, 12 to 17, for our insight and edification. I'd like to read the passage and then we'll look at it. Romans chapter 8, verses 12 through 17. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. That's a sin nature. For if you lived after the flesh or the sin nature, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That would be adult sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself also beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. If children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Well, not only is the believer equipped to live a godly life by relying on the Holy Spirit instead of his sinful nature, Romans 8:12 claims that he's obligated before God not to live by his sinful nature, and that as his new spiritual normal. You know, this is an amazing thing. I've talked with many Christians over the years, and a lot of Christians feel that living a life that is without committing acts of sin is almost unattainable, as though that you can't get there. But actually, the new normal should be living completely separate from the sin nature. That's what God has designed. In addition, living in the sinful nature keeps a believer from enjoying his spiritual life. For he's about to die or is at the point of dying where he lives in the sin nature, or if he lives in the power of the Spirit of God, he enjoys the spiritual life that is his in Christ. Now this challenge of about to die does not mean that a believer is about to lose his salvation if he lives in the sin nature, but that he fails to enjoy the blessings of the spiritual life available to him in Christ. It's as though he were living in death. If a person is living in the sin nature, he's living like an unsaved person. He thinks like an unsaved person and so forth. So he's actually living a form of death. It's actually separate from fellowship with God. Now, this truth applies not only to one's daily experience, but extensive living in the sin nature results in physical death by means of God's discipline. You'll remember in 1 John chapter 5, verses 16 and 17, the Apostle John wrote about the warning of physical death, where he said, if any man see his brother commit a sin that is not unto physical death, he shall ask and he shall give him life for life, for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death, that would be unto physical death. I do not say that he should pray for it. So it's possible for a believer to sin so extensively that God will actually take him home to heaven prematurely in his physical body. So there are several reasons why we don't want to live in the sin nature. One is that eventually it can lead to God's cutting short this earthly life. But more than that, we don't want to live in practical separation from God. We want to live in fellowship with God, which is fulfilling. Further, as many as are led by the Spirit of God by relying on the Holy Spirit are adult sons of God. The word sons is translated from the Greek term huios, that is a child mature enough to take on adult family privileges and responsibilities. A huios is something that occurs at a bar mitzvah. Until the bar mitzvah, a boy is a paideias, which is, we get the word pediatrics from that. He's a child. But as bar mitzvah, he becomes a huios, and a huios is equal with his father in the community. And so the men of the community at the bar mitzvah are supposed to come up and kiss the son on both cheeks, as they do, you know, it's instead of giving the handshake, they like this, on both hands. And that indicates that they are willing to accept him as a man in the community, and they're going to interact with him as a fellow businessman. They're going to buy and sell from him and so forth. So, and if you don't do that, you get in trouble with the father. at the bar mitzvah, because the father is trying to have his son go through this. So God treats us as sons who have been through the bar mitzvah. We have adult son privilege. In other words, when a believer relies on the Holy Spirit of God, he's equipped of God to assume adult family privileges and responsibilities in living for the Lord and serving him as he relates to other believers and ministers in Christian service. A Christian who lives by means of the power of the Spirit of God can utilize his spiritual gift. Now, depending upon how, to what extent he develops that gift, it will determine his effectiveness. But the more he uses it or trains in the use of it and so forth, the more effective he can be. And that's what God wants him to be. Paul added that in sharp contrast to one's living by the control of his sin nature, the believer has received the Holy Spirit of huiothesia. That's a placing as a son. That makes a child bear the privileges of natural born sons who enjoy spiritual intimacy with God the Father, calling him Abba, Father. Now, the word Abba in Aramaic is very close to, in our English, the word daddy. That's a term of endearment that a child uses for his father, daddy. Or you, even an adult child can refer to a beloved father as daddy, okay? One of my daughters calls me that. It's daddy, or a lot of, sometimes it's dad, but most of the time Connie calls me daddy on the phone. And that's a term of endearment. Now, the term Abba is a Greek and English transliteration of the Aramaic word for father, and it's used elsewhere in the New Testament only in Mark 14:36 and Galatians 4:6. In Mark 14:36, Jesus in his native Aramaic tongue, in great agony in the Garden of Gethsemane, used Abba in calling out in intimate fellowship with his heavenly Father for release from the cup of suffering that he was about to face. And Galatians 4:6, the only other passage where Abba is used, speaks of believers referring to the Father as Abba. So we believers in Christ, when relying on the Holy Spirit, have the most intimate fellowship with God the Father that is possible, a fellowship that the Lord Jesus himself enjoys. Isn't that marvelous? The fellowship that God the Father and God the Son enjoy one with another. When we walk with the Lord, we actually enter into that fellowship. We may not comprehend the full extent of it, but we actually are participants with it. Well, this makes sense in 1 John chapter 1. John says the apostles, our fellowship with the Father and with his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says, we write these things to you that you might fellowship with us, namely fellowship with God and his Son and us. We're brought into that wonderful fellowship with the Lord. So, in addition, the Holy Spirit bears witness with our human spirits created in Christ Jesus that we are techna of God. This is a different term. The word techna refers to one's being born of God, a born one, a techna. Now, a person of any age can be a techna. That's a born one. It could be a brand new baby. It could be a person who's 90 years of age. He's a born one in that family. And a truly spiritually birthed child of God. Thus, the Holy Spirit affirms to the believer who fellowships with the Lord that he's actually saved, actually spiritually born into God's spiritual family. See, when we walk with the Lord, the Spirit of God ministers to our spirit, and he convinces us, he communicates to us that we are really born children of God. This is one of the great blessings of walking with the Spirit of God. This issue of fearing that we lost our salvation or that we're not saved, that's an indication actually of carnality. Because when we're walking with the Spirit of God will convince our spirit that we are indeed sons of God. So that's another reason to fellowship with the Lord, have that constant assurance that we are children of God. Oh, if we are an heir, also the believer is a techna, one truly spiritually born into God's family, so he's also an heir. If you're actually born into the family, you're an heir. Think of it, you're an heir of God. Now, what does God possess? He possesses everything. So I'm an heir of that. And if I'm an heir, I'm an heir of God as a fellow heir. Sun cleronomos. Wow, a fellow heir with Jesus Christ. Some have been translated this as joint heir. A joint heir is different than just a mutual heir. If you're a mutual heir, you might own 50%, the other guy owns 50%, or If there are three heirs, it's 33 and a third, 33 and a third, 33 and a third. A joint heir is one who owes 100% with the other person. In other words, 100% of what God owns and what Jesus Christ owns, you own, and you own it 100%. Now, we obviously share and enjoy it, but we actually own it. You're a possessor of that. That's an amazing thing. I don't think we can wrap our mind about it. This universe is run by God. You are actually an owner of the whole thing. The new universe that's coming, you are actually an owner of the whole thing. So you will have access to go anywhere you want because it belongs to you. It'll be your property. And you have opportunity to enjoy it all because it will be yours, because you are a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Now, the purpose of this fellow heir status is to equip the believer to be glorified with Christ in the eternal state, a huge blessing to be realized at the rapture. You see, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he died in our place. And when God commits the transaction to us, he identifies us with Christ in his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Well, Christ was raised in a glorious body. Since he was raised in a glorious body, since you are in him, you and I are in him, we have to have the same kind of body because we're in Christ. Otherwise, he'd have to take us out. But no, he's keeping us in there. We're in there. So that's why we're getting this new body. We're going to get a body just like our Lord's in power. We'll still be able to eat, yet we'll be able to disappear, go through doors like Jesus did. And Jesus had this gaping wound still in his side, the gaping holes in his hands. There was no pain. It was all gone. So that's going to be wonderful to be in a heavenly body. We won't get disease. We won't have human weaknesses. There will be no threat of death whatsoever. What a wonderful privilege. So because of the spiritual equipping of the Holy Spirit that is provided to the believer can enjoy exalted living by relying on the Spirit as his new normal, as his obligatory way of living, enjoying practical spiritual blessings and equipped to function as an adult spiritual son with all of its privileges and responsibilities in life and service. He should thus enjoy full spiritual intimacy with God the Father and practical assurances from the Holy Spirit that he is truly born again of God and thus is an heir of God and a fellow heir of Christ, assured of sharing in his glory. So in application, may we believers not view living a holy spiritual life in Christ as some goal to be achieved at some future date, but rather view such living as obligatory for now, as our new normal, by relying on the Holy Spirit instead of the old sinful nature. And may we thus enjoy exalted living by enjoying practical spiritual blessings and privileges and responsibilities in life and service that are granted to God's adult sons, including assurances of the Holy Spirit that we are truly born again, and hence heirs of God and fellow heirs of Christ to participate with him in his glory and eternity. Today, after the worship service, I was asked by one of the members of our church. This member had come across terms like sanctification and redemption, reconciliation, propitiation, and so forth, and he wanted the definition of those terms. And I got to thinking, well, we already have the 33 positional truths that we have when we're saved in Christ. We have them on our website. Apparently, I did them many years ago on a Wednesday evening in a prayer meeting series. My wife found them on the line this afternoon. But I got to thinking more about that. You know, I thought Dr. Lewis Berry Chafer, the founder of Dallas Seminary, has a systematic theology, has 7 volumes. And in the volume 3, it talks all about the doctrine of salvation. It's real thick like that. So I loaned him my own copy of that. And this believer made an interesting statement. He says, you know, I'm so glad that I've got that book because I'm so glad that I'm going to find out what these terms mean. And here's a believer who wants to grow in grace and grow in the knowledge of the Lord. And he's excited about it. And he should be, because this is what God has for us. He wants us to live an exalted life by relying on the Spirit of God. And In doing so, not only do we serve the Lord abundantly, but he opens up our minds so that we can take in the information that we need and learn the depths of God's truth. God doesn't want us just constantly to be sold on and participating on spiritual pablum. That's stuff that's just on the surface. He wants us to become partakers of the meat of the word, the depth. And that's what this believer is looking forward to. So it was a delight to loan him that book. And I'm sure he's going to get a lot of information out of it. But God wants us to enter into the blessings of living an exalted life, and exalted by God's grace, but it's life by means of the Spirit of God. It's so much better than living a life by means of our sin nature. If we live by our sin nature, it's a form of death, and there's no happiness, there's no fulfillment. But when we live in the power of the Spirit of God, there's this abounding glory, there's this abounding joy, and there's growth, real growth in the Lord, and that's what God wants for us.